Gaura-dra-ganya-gana-gocha-gularu-haram Gauranga-gura-tama-gopya-da-kopa-briksham Gopala-gada-rati-dam-yati-singha-gaura Govinda-deshi-kavaram Satatam-namami Guruve Gurchandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Adadanas Trinam Dantar Idam Yache Puna Punaha Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Rajoham Sham Bhave Bhave Uttama Adama Kichuna Bachila Jachi Adile Kakola Kahe Premananda Emana Goranga Hridaya Dariya Bola Bhaja Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare Bolo Bhaja Goranga Kaha Goranga Laha Gorangera Namare Jejana Goranga Bhaja Se hoy amara prana re Jejana Goranga Bhaja Se hoy amara prana re Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Bolo, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yashaiva padam bhuja bhakti labhya prema bidana parama pumarta tismai jagan mangala mangalaya chaitanya chandraya namo namaste chaitanya chandraya namo namaste chaitanya chandraya namo namaste Madgavir api gopala Sri kriyat kripaya jadi Tadaiva sambhaya pitva Rishi yustat priya janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana rupaka Gopala ragunathaya Jagannathaya te namaha Panchakopadarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I have a very big task. In Orissa, there's a local saying that I have a very small mouth, but I want to speak about a very big subject. So, I beg all of you to please forgive me for my impertinence in sitting here in front of all of you, and I know some very senior devotees who are also listening today. Please bless me. Please forgive me that we can, bless me, we can say something for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about two very special devotees whose Tirobhav Mahotsav we're observing today. The Padma Purana describes Nakarma Bandhanam Janma Vaishnavanam Chavidyate Vishnu Arnat Anucharatvam Hi Moksham Ahur Manishina. That the Vaishnavas, they don't take birth, they don't leave this world like ordinary persons. In the material world, on the 200th anniversary or whatever it is of someone like Abraham Lincoln or George Washington in America, they'll have some special function and they'll have some talks. What was the greatness of this personality? Let's not become like that, like mundane persons. There's a very deep and very important purpose behind this function that we have of observing the Avirbhav and the Tirobhav, or the appearance and disappearance days of our previous acharyas. Today is the disappearance day of two great personalities, Srila Gauridas Pandit and Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. So we'll say something briefly about each one, because it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would begin to speak about Rupa Goswami, or about his devotees, he would seem to get many mouths. And he would lament that there wasn't enough time for Ananta Sesh to speak about the glories of such devotees, and would to speak of some insignificant, offensive, ordinary jiva like ourself. So we're trying to say something for our purification. I'd like to start by saying something about Gauridas Pandit and then go on to the main topic I'd like to speak on, which is Rupa Goswami. But I'd like to first contemplate a little further about the relevance of these kind of events for all of us. A few days ago we spoke something about Rupa Goswami, and I'm going to repeat a few things from that discussion. Please forgive me if you were present that time. Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he describes something very important. He says that seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tadbhava lipsuna karya braja lokanusarataha. He says that we should follow in the footsteps of some resident, some particular person in Vrindavan, and we should meditate on that person. And he says that by doing this, I'm going to say something which, please forgive me, in some quarters of our society seems to be a bad word, but by doing so you'll get, here comes the word, raganuga bhakti. I said it. Okay. Rupa Goswami has given us this. And this was the external thing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, was raganuga bhakti. The internal thing was he wanted to taste his personal bhav. So Rupa Goswami has given us this. And Srila Prabhupada, in his Nectar of Instruction, he said that this movement is based on Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. We're followers of Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. We're Rupanugas. And we don't just follow the first verse of Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, Vachavega, Manasakrodavegma. Hey, you should control your senses. Don't do bad things. There's much, much more to our movement. Don't cut out some pages of Rupa Goswami's teachings from Prabhupada's books. We should understand them. But we should understand in the way that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has instructed us, that crummy, crummy, step by step, according to a way that's appropriate for us, according to our individual adhikar. Sve sve dikariya nishta. Is said by Krishna in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, that everyone should be nishta, They should be fixed in the position according to their adhikar, their qualification. Don't try to imagine, oh, yes, I can go and dance with the gopis and I'll think about the Ras Leela and this and that. It's a very dangerous thing. But at the same time, don't cut the pages out of the book. It's there, and it's there for a reason. And Srila Prabhupada has said we should read it, but we should keep it in a certain position. And this particular verse, Seva Sadaka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrahi, is a very important verse. Because we want that thing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. We want that thing that Rupa Goswami came to give and that Srila Prabhupada came to deliver to us. It's not the International Society for Kanishta Consciousness. This society is meant, ultimately the members are meant to get love of God. And to enter, Prabhupada says sometimes, into the divine dance with Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan. That's our goal. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Bhajan Rahasya, when he speaks about different anartas, he says that one anarta is tattva vibhrama, or not understanding tattva. Another anartha is to not understand something about Krishna Bhakti Ras and the goal of it. But we should keep it in a proper perspective. So how do we practice this? The Seva Sadaka Rupena, we should meditate on some associate of the Lord in Braj. Who should we pick? Maybe I'd like to pick Mother Yashoda. Or maybe I'll pick Lalita Sakhi. And Sometimes men, even, they dress up like Lalita Sakhi or one of the gopis to really get in the mood. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and our acharyas weren't very appreciative of that kind of behavior. Krame, we should do things step by step as Rupa Goswami has given us in Upadeshamrita. They don't jump over the first verses. So then, what did we do with statements like this? We should meditate on original Braj. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has given us a perfect formula. Following the advice of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who in his commentary on this verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has said that we may follow that eternal associate of the Lord in two ways. And that personality is Siddharup in the spiritual world. Rupa Manjari, or we may follow that person in their sabik rup, or the form they manifested in Gaura Leela. In this case, it's Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit. And we can meditate, we should meditate on Rupa Goswami and on Gauridas Pandit. And by doing this, and by meditating on what? On their stories, or the way they dressed? No, tadbhava lipsanakarya. What was their mood? Their mood of service, their mood of devotion. What was their purpose in coming? What was their role in serving the Lord? We should meditate deeply on that. And by meditating on that, we can get some very special adhikar. Because one of the great gifts that Rupa Goswami has given us is to reveal that there's no difference between Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela. And that Navadvip, Gaura Leela, is a hidden compartment inside a Braj. Our Goswamis have given us this. So we should take advantage of days like this and meditate on these great personalities and pray for their blessings. So I'd like to start by, saying a few words about Gauridas Pandit. Raghunath Das Goswami, in his Stavavali, He's described different associates of the Lord. And according to Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, he's described in his Bhakti-ratnakara. Actually, I'll sing this and you can chant Hare Krishna response. Sri Subala Goridas Vinita Sarvatra Abhinna Chaitanya Nityananda Priya Patra Bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. He says that everybody knows that Goridas Pandit is none other than Subal Sakha himself. That personality he describes as Abhina, none different from Subal. And he says he's Chaitanya Nityananda Priyapatra. He's the Priyapatra, or the vessel of ecstatic love, reposed upon him by these two wonderful brothers, Sri Sri Gaura and Nityananda Prabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami has described something about the importance of Subal in his Stavabali. Gadadurana gagvaratto virarat Gadanuraga bharatto virahasya bitya Swapne pi gokula vidorna jahati hastam Yoradika pranaya nirjara sikta cheta Stam prema viva latanum subalam namami. He says that Subal is a very embodiment of viraha, or separation from the Lord. He's the embodiment of ecstatic love. And he has so much fear of being separated from his Priyanarma Sakha Krishna, his very, very dear friend, that even in his dreams, his mind is always thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And there are many wonderful pastimes of Subal. Maybe some of you know the story behind a very special dress that Radharani wears once a year called Subal Vesh. I won't go in that direction. We won't have any time for Rupa Goswami. But he plays a very intimate role in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, although he's a Sakha, a cowherd boy, and he's in Sakya Ras. He loves Krishna, especially in the mood of a friend. Still, he's a Priyanarma Sakha, which Rupa Goswami describes as someone who is able to enter into the very dear pastimes, very intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So Goridas Pandit, we can contemplate a little something about his mood. He was living in the place which is still present today. I've been there many times, in Navadvip Mandala. It's called Ambika Kona. If you haven't been there, it's highly recommended. Very, very special place. There is a tree before you come to the temple, an old tamarind tree, which it's said that Goridas Pandit met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under that tree. And they worship that tree to this day. Very wonderful Kopa Briksha tree we can offer prayers to. So Goridas Pandit was staying there in seclusion. He was not feeling so happy to himself. We don't know any reason that's given, but from studying the lives of different acharyas and comments made about them, we can correctly, I think, surmise that he was not happy being present in Kali Yuga around materialistic people. And so he was keeping to himself, which is the nature of a devotee. But really, was he keeping to himself? He was doing his Nam Bhajan. And it said that Nam Vigraha Sarup, Tineka Rup, these three are non-different. And Goridas Pandit's Nam Bhajan manifested a form one day in a very astonishing way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu had come across the Ganga from the home of Advaita Acharya just to see Gauridas Pandit. We see this also in the life of Haridas Thakur. He didn't have to go to the Jagannath Mandir. He was just doing his Nam Bhajan, and Jagannath was coming to see him every day. This is the meaning of darshan. Darshan doesn't mean I just go to the website www.darshan.com. I don't mean to disturb anybody, but darshan means that we come before the Lord and He sees us. I'm not the seer. And so Gauridas Pandit is doing his Nam Bhajan, and not just ordinary Nam Bhajan, but Prema Nam, Sankirtan. And that Nam manifested a form. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there in his Swarup, along with Lord Nityananda. They personally rowed a small boat across the Ganga from Shantipur. And when he arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave to Gauridas Pandit one of the oars of the boat that he'd used. And he told him that we use this to cross the Ganga. Now you take this, and this will help you to help the jivas in this material world to cross the ocean of material samsara. And that oar is still present in that temple in Ambika Kalna today, along with the Bhagavad Gita, which they say was written personally by hand by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gauridas Pandit had so much love for the Lord, he couldn't tolerate separation from Him. And so when Mahaprabhu was leaving, Gauridas was crying and following them. Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry, I'll come again." And he came, and every time Gauridas would cry. And finally Mahaprabhu saw, "I have to do something." So he told him, "You go to a certain place, and there's a neem tree, and you have a deity made, deities of Gaura and Nityananda, and we'll always be here." Okay. So Gauridas Pandit did that, and he made those deities. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, and they had some wonderful exchange. And again, he was leaving, and Gauridas said, no, don't go. And Mahaprabhu said, "I know, I'm staying here in the form of the deities." Vigraha, because Nam Vigraha Sarup, Teen Ekarup, these three, the holy name, the Sarup, the original form of the Lord, and the Vigraha, the deity, they're non-different. "I'm staying here in that form." Gauridas said, "Don't cheat me. That's not good enough for me. If that's really true, the deities can go and you stay here. Because I want you." Mahaprabhu said, "Okay." So then he stayed there, and Mahaprabhu and Nityananda became the deities. And then the deities started walking away. And Gauridas was becoming a little confused. He said, "Well, wait a minute." And finally he understood, after this went on a few times, that Nam Vigraha Sarup, Tenika Rup. The deities non-different. And those deities are still there today. Not far from there's another temple, just by the way, of the deities of Gaura Nityananda, established by Suryadas Sarkal, who was a brother of Gauridas Pandit. And he had two very beautiful daughters, you may have heard of them, called Janava and Vasudha. And they married Lord Nityananda Prabhu. According to one tradition, their marriage place is there, in Ambika Kalna. So it's a very wonderful place full of divine love. And Gauridas had many wonderful pastimes with those deities. He would speak with them. And because Nam Vigraha Sarup, Tineka Rup, because the deity is not different from the Lord, sometimes the deity would speak back to him. For such a devotee who has love. And on one occasion, Mahaprabhu told him, he said, "Gauridas, we know who you are. You're actually our Pranasukha Subha. And we know what you're thinking, what you really want. We know what you remember in Braj Leela." And then suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the deity, disappeared and he became Brajendanandan Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu disappeared and became Balaram. And they were standing there with flutes and horns and sticks and ropes to tie the cows in a way, in a form that Subal Sukha got so much pleasure from. And Gauridas Pandit's eyes became very, very big. And it's said by Narahari Chakravarti that he became stunned in ecstasy and just stood there staring at the deities. And then Krishna and Balaram again became Gaura and Nityananda. On another occasion, Gauridas cooked many different preparations for the Lord. He brought them before the deities, and the deities used to personally take, and sometimes the food would disappear even. But this time they weren't touching the food, and they were just quiet. And Gauridas, because he's a cowherd boy, he's a Gwala, became a little sulky, and he said, "Hey, if you're not going to eat, why don't you tell me? Why you make me cook for you?" And then Mahaprabhu spoke, and it was Gauridas's turn to listen, be quiet. Mahaprabhu said, "Gauridas, we're satisfied with just a little something. I once said in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushyam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati. Just give me a leaf, a flower, a little water. I'm happy with that." In the same verse appears, interestingly, in the pastime of Sridham, Sudam Brahman, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It was spoken by Krishna there again. Same exact verse. And Vishwanath comments on that, both in the Gita and in his Sartha Varshani commentary, and in his Sartha Darshani commentary in the Bhagavatam. But he gives a little different explanation. He says that Asnami, accepting, means that the Lord is so attracted by the love of the offerings of his devotees that he'll even eat a flower. If you give him a flower with love, he may pop it in his mouth and eat it because it's so dear to him. So Mahaprabhu told Gauridas, "We're satisfied with a simple little something. But you work so hard, and you make so many preparations. Why do you do like that? It's not necessary." And Subal became a little sulky, Gauridas Pandit. He said, "Okay, from now on, I'll only cook boiled rice and spinach for you." And Gauranityananda, they laughed. And of course, he cooked in a very wonderful way. It's highly recommended if you go there, go to Ambika Kalna the day before, and speak with the pujari and make some arrangements to come the next day, especially if you have a group, and see if they can cook lunch prasadam for you. Prasadam is very, very nice. Many times we've taken prasad there. So on another occasion, Gauridas, he was thinking about the Lord, and he thought, "I should decorate them in valuable jewels and ornaments." And that morning when he went to wake them up, he was very surprised to see that they were already dressed. And they had extremely exquisite and rare, beautiful diamonds and jewels on their bodies. And Gauridas became stunned. And then the jewels disappeared. And then Mahaprabhu again spoke to him and told him, "Actually, Gauridas, the thing we like the best is not all these expensive jewels and things like that. We like ornaments made out of flowers. That's what gives us the most pleasure." So Gauridas Pandit, his disappearance day is this day. And we can meditate something about his personality and his importance in our sampradaya. And we can learn some lesson from him. He didn't just come to be an historical person like Abraham Lincoln or something. But he's a very real person. And when we have functions like this Tirubhav Mahotsav in their honor, it's understood by the Vaishnavas that actually the purpose of the function is to evoke that personality, so that personality may actually come to that assembly. And he may touch the hearts of the listeners, of those persons who are listening in a very sincere, prayerful way. So we'd like to try to say something about Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. I've already gone past my time for Gauridas Pandit. I have a few minutes left to our time. Srila Prabhupada has written in his summary to Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the combined form of Radha and Krishna. He's the life of those devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. And as I mentioned in Nectar of Instruction preface, he says, the Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. This movement, if you follow Srila Prabhupada, then you must follow Srila Rupa Goswami. Because this is Srila Prabhupada's instruction to us. This movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. So for the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who's a founder acharya of this society, this is a very, very special day to meditate on that personality who's actually supervising, looking over this movement. And there's a famous verse that Srila Prabhupada gave us, Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. That when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who established within this material world the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when will he give me shelter under his lotus feet? A few years ago, a good friend of mine discovered a little-known commentary ascribed to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse, and he kindly translated it for us. I'd like to just say a few words about that. Some things I covered a few days ago, so please forgive me if you were there at that time. But why is it that Rupa Goswami is Chaitanya Mano Abhishta, that he understands the inner mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How is it that Stapitam Yena Bhutale, that he's established that mission within this world? What does that mean? And a relevant question arises, we raised a few days ago, and that is that why not Sarup Damodar Goswami? Why not Ramananda Roy? Sarup Damodar Goswami, according to Srila Prabhupada, is none other than Lalita Sakhi. And Ramananda Roy is Vishakha Sakhi. And it's said that Krishna, who's Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisovanayaiva, who had three desires that he wanted to fulfill, understanding the nature, the Pranaya Mahima, the glories of Radhika's love. What is it that Sokyam Chashyamana Nubhav Dikidrisam Viti Lobhat? What is it, the happiness that she feels? And what is it exactly that she sees in me? Those three things he could not understand. Although he's Krishna, although he's Sarvajna, he knows everything. He's Bhagavan, but Bhagavan has some limit. And Srila Prabhupada, in one place, he says a very beautiful thing. He says, the impersonalists want to merge with God and become one with God. But the Vaishnavas have a greater aspiration. They want to become devotees and servants of the Lord, because a devotee is greater than the Lord. And what is the proof of that? The proof of that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That the greatest devotee, who is Srimati Radharani, Krishna became so disturbed and agitated. I must understand what is the nature of her love. To understand that, he had to change his position. Because by nature, fasten your safety belts, little philosophy for just a minute. By nature, he's Priti Vishroy, or the supreme object of love. And Srimati Radhika, by nature, is Priti Ashray, the supreme abode of love. Both of them are supreme. They're Asamordva. No one can be equal to, no one can be greater than the Lord or Srimati Radharani in these particular respects. Although there's some subtle nuances to that statement, but that's another long discussion. So, to enable himself to taste that Priti Ashray, that bliss, that Hladini Nanda, that ecstasy that Radhika was experiencing, that even he himself couldn't taste, he had to come as a devotee. He didn't come as a Supreme Lord. He didn't come for himself to be worshipped. He came to teach us the mood of Radharani's worship. It's a very subtle, very, very deep, profound thing. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu tells the devotees, Jagiyama prati sneha take sabakar tabhe krishna vyati rikta nagaide arbalo tabhe krishna. He said, if you love me, you love my instructions, and don't chant my name. That's not our tradition. We like to chant Gauranam. It's very wonderful, very special. But there's a reason we chant Krishna Nam. It's even more special to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radhika. And Radhika, what kind of kirtan is she doing? Are the sakis going around here? We mentioned some weeks ago. Are they doing kirtan saying Radhe, Radhe, Radhe? And Radharani singing along with them? Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. No. She's singing Krishna, Krishna. And she's getting so much pleasure. This is the bhajan pranali, the system of bhajan of Srimati Radharani. And this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, to show us the bhajan of Radha. But who could understand that? Why not Vishakha and Lalita, Surab Damodar and Roy Ramananda? Because there's someone even more intimate than them. Lalita and Vishakha are Radharani's two dearmost companions. Who can be more intimate than that? That personality is Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari is even more intimate, although she doesn't have such a position. She's not a yuteshri in charge of a group or something. Well, she has a big group. That's another discussion. But she's not one of the main sakis or something. She's a servant of Lalita. But she's more confidential because she's privy to things that even Lalita and Vishakha can't see. Because she's just a little girl. She's like 12 or 13 years old. She's very young. And when Radha and Madhav are doing their Nitya Bihara, their very wonderful eternal pastimes, the conjugal intimate pastimes, all the other gopis leave. But Rupa Manjari and the other Manjaris, they have access to that. So this is why, Vishwanath says, why Rupa Goswami is Sri Chaitanya Manobhishta. Why he knows the mentality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and why he's Stapitam Yena Bhutale. He therefore could establish this movement. Because to establish the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world, doesn't just mean that you memorize some facts about vegetarianism and reincarnation And you go and you tell people this thing or that thing. That's not our movement. Shankaracharya also believes in vegetarianism and reincarnation. You may say, oh, but we also speak about Krishna. Okay, so do the Ramanujas and so do the Madhvas and the Vallabhas. What's special about this movement? We are Rupanugas. We're followers of Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. And if Rupa Goswami had not come, there's a wonderful song I was going to sing today, but there's no time. And explain a little something. By the poet Madhavadas, Padyavali poet who lived a few hundred years ago, wrote a very wonderful song saying, what if Rupa Goswami had not come? How would we know what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give? But when we speak about Rupa Goswami, there are many interesting things. We heard a wonderful discussion 2 days ago from a very wonderful devotee, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu. And he spoke about 3 different meetings of Mahaprabhu with Rupa Goswami. The first was in Ramakeli, which is where Rupa and Sanatan and Jiva Goswami grew up. And the second meeting with Rupa Goswami was in Prayag. And the third meeting was in Jagannath Puri. And Sarva Bhavana gave some very elaborate discussion about the meeting in Prayag and the importance of that meeting. And one of the important things about that meeting was that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami to preach and distribute this movement. So then, what was the necessity of the third meeting in Jagannath Puri, and what took place there? It's a big subject matter, which takes place in Anchalila, chapter 1 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I was going to read something, but I talk too much. So in that discussion, it said there some very special things happened. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and all the senior devotees, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to read some of the poetry of Rupa Goswami. And he requested perhaps the greatest playwright of the time, the greatest poet of the time, who was Ramananda Roy, the incarnation of Visakhasakhi, whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had personally learned about rasa from on the bank of the Godavari River. Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Roy, so you judge this. What do you think about this? And Ramananda Roy said, this is not poetry. This is liquid nectar. This is amrit. And he said, I can understand that only someone that you've empowered could write in such a way. So, what was the necessity then? It's an important question for us. What was the necessity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bringing all those devotees together and introducing them to Rupa Goswami? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Rupa Goswami. He glorified his poetry. He recited it before the devotees for their relishment and their appreciation. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, you bless them. What was the need of that? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami to give blessings. Rupa Goswami himself could have said, hey, who do you think you are? I am the Sri Chaitanya Manobhishta, you know. Get out of my way. I'm the important person here. But no, Rupa Goswami taught us that if we want to be empowered by the Lord, we should take the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas. Even if you are the most special person yourself, even if you're Rupa Manjari and you may be so empowered, still, to teach us the proper behavior, that Rupa Manjari came and submitted herself, himself, as Rupa Goswami before all the Vaishnavas and begged for their blessings. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was no need for him to request the blessings of those persons. But he's coming in the mood of a devotee. And he's teaching us, this is the mood of Gurudev. This is the mood of a devotee. Not that, hey, I'm the only one. And you've taken initiation from me, now I own you. You are my property. No. The Vaishnavas become very happy when they see someone else get the mercy, the blessings of other Vaishnavas, so much so that they want to call these other Vaishnavas. You bless them, bless them, bless them. Because our purpose here is not to gain followers. Our purpose here is not to make money or just to open temples or even just to distribute books like an Encyclopedia Britannica salesman. But our purpose is to spread Mahaprabhu's Premanam Sankirtan, his mission of divine love. And to do that, we have to take shelter of Rupa Goswami. We're Rupa Nugas. To do that, we want the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. We're not a big person. We're very, very small and very, very insignificant. Rupa Goswami had realizations that perhaps even Ramananda Roy and Srip Damodar Goswami didn't have. Definitely, he had realizations they didn't have. But still, he humbled himself before them in a genuine way, wanting their asirvad, their blessings. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us in a similar way. So this movement, all the members of this movement, we're meant to follow Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, as Sarvabhavan has spoken in such a wonderful way, Srila Prabhupada was staying at the Radha Damodar temple. And through his window of his kitchen, he could see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And there's one old sadhu who once recalled that he heard in the middle of the night one night someone crying. And he went to look. And there was Srila Prabhupada in front of Rupa Goswami's samadhi on his hands and knees, crying and weeping. Please, please empower me. Please, please bless me. And Rupa Goswami did. And this is why we're here. This is why Srila Prabhupada wanted to keep those rooms at the Radha Damodar temple for us. And this is why Srila Prabhupada wanted this very important Krishna Balaram Mandir here in Vrindavan. He didn't want a big skyscraper temple, but he wanted an intimate place where the members of this movement could come together in an intimate, loving association and hear and discuss together about topics of Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit and others. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Srila Gauridas Pandit ki. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Vanchakalpadarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo.